And our special guest tonight, Dr. Vernon Nepi, we're going to be back with him in a moment. His website, it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He's got a couple, pni.org, brainvoyage.com, but it's linked up there at coasttocoastam.com if you're there. And then he's got a whole series of books. We'll run through the titles in just a moment, and then we'll talk more about Deja Vu on Coast to Coast AM. Vernon, what is your most recent book on Deja Vu?
It has to be three, because they've all come out at the same time.
Now that's Deja Vu.
Right, all over again. And in fact, that was going to be one of the titles, but instead the other one was Deja Vu, A Second Look, which technically I suppose is the most recent. The reason is, I wrote the book The Psychology of Deja Vu already way back in 1983, and you can imagine I have had repetitive requests for this book, which is extremely difficult to obtain now. So I thought, very nice, what I will do is I will rewrite it. I'll write it as an electronic book. I will translate it from English into Americanese, and I'll write it less technically. And that became Deja Vu Revisited. So I said, hold on, let's update this a little. I'll have one more chapter, and that one more chapter will cover the research onward from the early 1980s. Well, that one more chapter turned out to be over 300 pages long. So I realized I had to separate it into another book. And I called that Deja Vu, A Second Look. And then there was one more problem.
What was
that? There were many different terms that could be used. And so I thought I will produce a glossary, a Deja Vu glossary, and I'll also produce a bibliography, because unlike most areas, it's a very difficult area to even look up, because do you use the French accents or do you not? And because of this, I produced a third book, Deja Vu Glossary and Library. But it's a little more complicated than that, because I decided I better produce unaccented versions as well as accented versions. In other words, each book comes as an electronic book, but they come compressed in two versions. The one is accented, which is the real way it's read, and the other is unaccented, so that in PDF format, people can type in and research anything without having to type in the actual accents, for example, in Deja. So there are three books. I call it the Deja Vu Trilogy, published by BrainVoyage.com, and all available on BrainVoyage.com. And just as a throw-in here, because of this program, we put in, or we had arranged that there would be some kind of special if people went there. They can go to brainvoyage.com/deja and find all sorts of wonderful components pertaining to this book. I'm very excited by it, not because it's mine, but because I feel that this is really the key series in the whole literature in the area. This will jumpstart research. It will jumpstart people's interest. Everyone I talk to.
Oh, it's a great topic. It's just fantastic. And there is just a dearth of information out there about this. So you've touched a nerve on people.
Yeah, it's happened again.
And again.
And again.
You know, every once
appropriately, sir.
every once in a while, we will repeat a program. So this is going to be kind of interesting when one night we repeat the Deja Vu show almost the same way.
Yeah, it'll feel that you've heard it all over again.
Dreams and Deja Vu. If you dream something and it ultimately comes true, much like you did in your dream, is that a form of Deja Vu?
Yes. And no.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So explain that one.
Explain that one. The problem is maybe one of terminology. If someone dreams something, and let's say a week later, it happens according to that dream.
Yes.
We technically call that precognition or foreknowledge.
Right.
However, let us say that that event happens a week later, and suddenly the person is aware, wait a minute, I dreamt it before. Then that is deja vu. We call it deja rêvé. It is the already dreamt experience. The difference is, did they really dream it before or not? Because if they really did dream it before, it would be precognition technically, but they cannot prove it. So the two are intimately linked, because many kinds of precognition might actually only be recognized when the person is experiencing that situation and saying, but I dreamt it. The difference might be, it was last Saturday night I had that dream. If somebody can be that specific, then I suspect it is the actualization of a precognition. It's not déjà rêvé, but it's a very fine difference.
I've always believed, Vernon, that this universe does things for a specific reason or gives us abilities for certain reasons. Why déjà vu? Why do we have the ability to do it? And what does it mean? What does it do for us? What can it do for us?
What a wonderful question. You know, I agree with you. I think that there's a meaning in events, and I think that there are specific purposes. And so one says, what's the value of déjà vu? Well, we've spoken about the different kinds, and one would have to then say, why that specific kind of déjà vu? So I gave one example of relief of anxiety in ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
Another example might be this subjective paranormal component. And then you're going to have to say, well, why do some people have apparent psychic experiences?
Yeah.
And what does that mean from the evolutionary point of view? What does that mean from the meaning point of view? I think if one answers that, one will have the same answer in relation to déjà vu at that level. The other ones, the pathological types, might not have as good a meaning. You know, it's not nice having temporal lobe epilepsy. It's not necessarily particularly useful having schizophrenia. And the déjà vu experiences might be side effects of these conditions, as opposed to having an evolutionary positive meaning.
Well, that's true. How can people use déjà vu to benefit their own lives, or can they?
I think there is an intellectual component here in terms of trying to understand what is happening when they are having that experience. There is an intrigue in terms of the perplexity and the understanding of why is it happening to me now and not at another moment. There is the subjective paranormal component in the subgroup of ostensible psychics who may be able to use this in another kind of way. If they have a déjà vu experience, they may learn ultimately to recognize, hold on, what does this mean? What does it mean for me? Why am I having it here? Could it imply, as you asked about, that I am having some kind of reincarnated experience? Could it imply that there are some kinds of trace memories? Could it imply that I am moving into a future form of knowledge, and this is my source of warning? It could be any of these, and these are purely hypotheses that have to be tested. But you can see that These are little semblances. These are little beginnings of maybe being able to actually use one's déjà vu for a valuable personal purpose.
Have you ever come across a situation where both parties, let's say there are two parties involved in déjà vu, you don't necessarily need that, but person A is experiencing déjà vu about person B, he knows what person B is going to say, and person B knows what person A is going to say. Has that ever occurred?
Again, yes and no. Not quite in your example. Or maybe some listeners can phone in and tell us an example like that.
We'll do that.
But it sometimes happens that you meet somebody for the first time, and you say, where have I met you before? And you establish it's quite impossible. They couldn't have met, and yet that person feels familiar, intensely so. And the second person says, that's strange. I have the same experience about you.
Right.
I also felt I had met you before. Now, this actually is a very good question because we can invent a new kind of déjà vu right here on the phone, possibly, or on the radio. We can actually say that this would be almost some kind of duet in terms of déjà vu. I've already described, in fact, something of the order of 22 different or 29 different subtypes of déjà vu kinds of déjà experience, what I call it. In other words, instead of the already seen experience, already heard, already smelt, already met, already lived, we have a string of every one of these, and maybe this is a 30th, the duet, the almost folie à deux of two people experiencing déjà vu at the same time. It's beautiful.
What if it's a crack in the space-time continuum? Somehow, some way, we have parallel universes, two things going on at the same time, yet déjà vu has somehow pierced through this portal or crack, and the two universes, Vernon, are out of kilter for just a bit. Is that possible?
Maybe. And you've come up with a marvelous hypothesis, and it's not, you're not the first to come up with a variant of this, but I think it is an excellent area to look at. The problem of how to research it is not too easy, but in a way, what you are describing is what we sometimes like to refer to as déjà vu. I have a co-author of Déjà Vu, A Second Look, Dr. Art Funkhaus in Switzerland, who feels that déjà vu ought to be the fundamental term, the already lived through experience, the already fully experienced or recollected kind of happening of the, as if I've been through this almost as part of a life. And here you are saying very, very appropriately and very logically, maybe it's something interdimensional. Maybe it's a parallel universe. Maybe it's something in terms of a figment that is being caught in our world and coming together. And two people may be coming together and experiencing this at the same time. Fascinating idea. Difficult to prove, of course.
Very difficult. Very difficult. Do you have patience? Do you have patients that come to you with déjà vu episodes?
All the time. Very, very commonly indeed.
And what do they say? How do they start?
Well, they don't necessarily come for their déjà vu, although I've had this happening in the past. And you can imagine I very commonly will receive people writing to me from all around the world about their déjà vu experiences. It's really difficult to even keep up with the numbers of questions one has. How do they start? The most common group that I may see are those people with the temporal lobe epilepsy kind, because they're coming along to a physician to be treated. They don't know what's going on. They just know that they keep getting these repetitive experiences, which sometimes can be of the most amazing complexity. I can give you an example here.
Please, okay.
An example is a gentleman, he was a Bible salesman, and he would have these repetitive déjà vu experiences. It would so impact his life that he would just try and carry on. So he's busy selling Bibles, and suddenly he has the sense that everything he is saying or doing is completely familiar. And within the sense, he has this utter complexity of being aware that this living room he's sitting in has a river that is running through it. And suddenly, he's hearing the sound of chickens. And he has this intense compulsion to get up and go and chase these chickens that don't exist. Now, you might say, well, how strange. But every time he would have his déjà vu experiences, it would be exactly like this. It would be like a stereotype, a matching around of it is happening all over again. Now, you might say, well, why is that déjà vu? He's had it before. He would recognize the inappropriateness, the illogicality, and afterwards he'd have this intense headache, and he'd be confused. And he's still trying to sell his Bibles, and the lady he's talking to is saying, are you all right? Are you all right? She can see something is a little bit different. These kinds of patients can easily come to consult. So I've got these funny symptoms. I'm having these funny episodes. I don't know what they are, or they might realize they're déjà vu. I will more rarely find people who have what to them are psychic experiences, subjective paranormal experiences to me, so I can be non-prejudicial.
Okay, we've talked about four areas of déjà vu. How do we know, how does the individual who has déjà vu, how do they know what category it's in? I mean, should we all rush to a medical doctor, for example, and get brain spans, scans?
Excellent question. No, I don't think one needs to rush off and get brain scans or any other kinds of tests like MRIs or CTs. Sometimes EEGs are useful, electroencephalograms, which measure brain waves. But effectively, this was something that intrigued me. And I've spent the last year developing the most detailed of questionnaires, which I hope I'll be able to put up on the internet in the next few months, and which incidentally is part of my book, Déjà Vu, A Second Look, which asks about all sorts of detailed questions on the subject. And if one has enough detail, one is able to sometimes pigeonhole it. You know, it's easy for me to say I can always put people into particular categories. And most of the time I can, but sometimes I can't. And this detailed questionnaire may well help. So when you say, can you really evaluate your kind of déjà vu? Yes, you can with a questionnaire like this. But fortunately or unfortunately, it's going to take some time because I'll have the data and I can provisionally develop a way to interpret that data when it's clear. But only when I have a large enough sample can I be able to really see where the trends are going.
Well, that will be fascinating work when you get into it. I tell you what, we're going to take phone calls when we come back, Doctor. And I would like people to share their déjà vu stories with you. Maybe you can give them some help, some feedback. And also, perhaps, you might have a question or two. Can people email you, Vernon? Do you have that capability?
Yes. The problem is this, that I may get, with respect, up to 1,000 a day. Occasionally.
Well, with us, you'll get close to 5,000 a day.
Right. And so you can imagine that it's impossible to answer all of these. And this is why I've written these books, so that people can read about it and try and approach it. And I'm hoping at some point in time to be able to extend this in terms of maybe doing a smaller kind of symposium or discussion where people can ask these questions. But I'm hoping these books will help will give a whole semblance of my ideas on the subject if people end up reading this Deja Vu series. I call it the trilogy of books that's available on brainvoyage.com.
Stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a moment. We'll open up the phone lines next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Thursday, I'll be at the Borders Bookstore in Pasadena between 5 and 7 p.m. So come on out there and pick up a copy of Worker in the Light. I'll be there, and then I'll rush back to the studio. But that'll be on Thursday, which is today now. So come on out to Pasadena. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our special guest, Dr. Vernon Nepi, and your phone calls. You ready for some calls, Doctor?
I am indeed, yes.
Let's go to west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Alwyn from Ronan Park.
Hello, Alwyn. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Nepi and George. Dr. Nepi, I would like to explain what happens to me, and maybe you can tell me for sure if they're deja vus. Usually, I'm with somebody. And I'll be going along, and all of a sudden it starts creeping up on me, and then it peaks. It's like, and it's a wonderful feeling. It's really nostalgic, and it's like I'm in another space and time, even though I know I'm there right now. And the other day I was riding with a friend, and it started to happen to me, and I turned around and looked at him, and I said, have we done this before? And they're never bad experiences. They're always very nostalgic, and no, I cannot exactly pinpoint what it's about.
All right. Well, one of the key features that you outlined here is, has it happened before, and yet you know it has not happened before? If that is so, by definition, it would imply deja vu. Now, there's a little variation here. And your variation is simply this. It sounds as if you're having almost exactly the same experience each time.
It can be different things. I mean, okay. It can be different places. It can be, but they are always very nostalgic.
All right. So that nostalgia is fine. It's just if it was exactly the same each time, stepwise, going from the one to the next to the next. One would wonder why. Is there something going on in the brain, some kind of firing that is linked up with this? And again, this is not intended to be medical diagnosis. We're talking about something just broadly with one or two little facts.
Yeah.
But the part that's intriguing to me is two aspects. The one is the build-up, the peak, as opposed to it being initially somewhat familiar and then almost disappearing quickly, that sense of familiarity. And the other is this sense of space-time distortion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the throw-in of this sense of nostalgia. In other words, there's a certain emotionality linked with it.
Mm-hmm.
And those three almost create more of an experience that's almost like, have I lived through this before? Have I, in a broader way, experienced this before? One uses the term déjà vu sometimes to describe this kind of happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, do you have any kind of subjective paranormal kinds of experiences?
Yes, I do.
And with these, do you sometimes have an awareness of what will happen next or what has happened just before in the past?
Absolutely.
In other words, there's this distortion in terms of time, but a distortion that is good for you because you have a specific knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were schizophrenic, for example, you'd say, yeah, I know what's going to happen before, but it would all be vague. You couldn't describe it.
Mm-hmm.
You're describing this. So there's the peak, the space-time, the nostalgia, and the distortion in terms of time, where just briefly, it sounds like this is tending towards the subjective paranormal kind of deja vu. Okay. And it would fit in that in terms of the fact that you have subjective paranormal experiences. Now, again, with a few facts, it's hard as a scientist
right.
to definitely make an evaluation, but that's what it sounds like. Okay. Very exciting, very nice, and I would even appreciate your writing up that and sending it to me.
Is it abnormal?
No.
Or normal to have deja vu experiences?
Well, you can see this is a beautiful example where it's certainly not abnormal. It heightens the person's life. It can be abnormal in certain conditions. We've said temporal lobe epilepsy, schizophrenia, psychosis. But this is very much, this is intriguing, and this assists one's happiness. One's, you mentioned the nostalgia.
How come I can never have deja vu when I'm at the horse races?
Because then it would be appropriate familiarity. What you can do is you can learn which horses are the quickest, and you can bet on those and say, well, he won again. But, of course, that's appropriate familiarity, and that's using logic. It's not deja vu.
Back to the phones we go. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I had a quick comment and a question for you.
All right, go ahead.
I've had this deja vu that comes in dreams and real estate. The first happened when I was a very young child, and I saw a picture of a reading book of a tiger, and then a week later, we were reading the same book. I'd never seen that before, but I realized that I had in the dream. The second was I dreamed about a snake attacking me, and I saved my mom, but I died. 2 months later, she died in real time. The second time was while I was in the Navy making an important decision, and I was awake, and I had this frozen time thing of deja vu, I think, of whether to make this decision or not this decision. And so it clicked when it was like a pivotal point I thought of my life. So my question is, can deja vu tell you that you are you've been reincarnated again and again until you have this certain deja vu, which will at every step continue on, or until you make the right decision, and then you go on further in your life. And if you make the wrong decision, like when you say you were 60, then you reincarnate again, and then until you make every decision. I don't know. That was my question. And I listened off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. You've asked a wonderful question and a very difficult one. And there's several components to your question, so I will just take a few of those components.
Okay, sure.
Component number one is there's a question of whether or not you're actually having deja vu. You may be having subjective precognition. In other words, you dream something, and then you have your tiger experience.
Fine line there, though, isn't there, Doctor?
Pardon?
There's a very fine line there between
the two.
Very
fine line indeed. Very fine line. And the fine line is, it's happening. Wait a minute, I dreamt about it last week, and I know exactly when I dreamt about it, and I can describe that dream with even some more features. Then it's the actualization of a precognition, but very fine line indeed. The example of the snake and the few months later and the metaphorical meanings also linked there may have precognitive components as well. And now, then you go to the next question in terms of the jump. I'm having this repetitively. Could it mean that there is a meaning here where I have been reincarnated, or I'm trying to re-experience the same experience the whole time to learn something? Well, that goes beyond deja vu. That goes to philosophical hypotheses. That goes to the mystical. That goes to thinking about something and maybe setting up a proper explanation. but that explanation is right for you. It may not be correct for anyone else. Sometimes one almost ought to take that happening, say, what was its meaning for me? And a different person having the same experience may have an entirely different meaning for these experiences or for that particular one.
Very possible. Thanks for the comment. Let's move on to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Rick in Las Vegas.
Hi, Rick. Go ahead, sir.
I had a question for the doctor. Good show, George. I have deja vus. Most of my deja vus consist of deja vus of deja vus, so on and so forth, so much that it literally becomes a running joke where I get it, and then it's like, oh, there, that one again. And it's almost humorous. I can feel a little laugh along with it, almost.
All right, that's an excellent description. Deja vu of a deja vu. Now let's look at it in a little bit more detail. You having repetitive experiences, as I'm understanding it, of a sense of familiarity, and you realize, wait a minute, this shouldn't be familiar. But yet if you're having those same experiences repetitively, they are familiar. But the difference for you is it's not appropriate. It's inappropriate. It shouldn't be happening, and yet it is happening, and it's out of your control. Now, again, I'm not throwing in a medical idea here, but this is the kind of deja vu experience where one might want to come along and explore and see if there are not other features that could be linked up with some kind of firing that is going on inside the brain. Again, this is very, very preliminary because one would ask many, many other questions. But may I try and get a little bit more of a feel here? When you have this, do you sometimes have afterwards any kinds of symptoms, any kinds of features that you would not want to have?
No, not at all.
You don't have headache or sleepiness or sense of confusion or disorientation?
No.
Okay, that's important. Because if you did have those, it would tend towards the medical model. What I would have to find out from you, Rick, is far, far more detail than just this little description. It's a wonderful description. Deja vu of deja vu, and it's happening all over again. And the people around you are saying, wait a minute, it's happening. But it seems to be so frequent, so common, and so strange that I would really need more detail than this. I want to know whether or not this really is deja vu first. I want to know what circumstances trigger it. I want to know what link-ups there are, maybe with time and also with any other kinds of symptoms. I want to know how you look, how others experience it. And from there, one can get a better picture. But it's a beautiful description, and thank you so much for sharing it.
Okay, thanks for being part of the program. Science, the physics behind deja vu, or do you think it's something metaphysical?
Both. In other words, I think there's a science behind it, and we've illustrated that it can occur as associative deja vu in ordinary people. Good science. And it can occur in terms of firing in the brain. And then it can occur in terms of misinterpretations of reality in psychosis. On the other hand, there's also that group that fits into its own quadrant, the subjective paranormal, the framework whereby people perceive this as in some kind of way psychic, in some kind of way they have a sense of knowing, an impression of things that they should not have. Surely that's how you would define the metaphysical, George. And in that context, yes.
Fascinating. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on with a good doctor. Hi there.
Hi, it's Joe from Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, Joe. Thanks.
Hi, George. Hi, doctor. Hi. I have a little bit of a dispute on the dream part. I believe that dreams are actually the majority of deja vu events. And just like somebody can have a dream and remember everything about it, and somebody could wake up and have a dream and barely remember it, or sometimes you might even wake up and not even remember the dream at all, but you might feel the emotions of that dream. So that when they have the deja vu event, they're not clear as to where that, why they're having the event. When I was very young, I had a definite dream deja vu. It was a unique situation. There's no doubt about that. I wasn't there before. And I remembered the dream, and I had had the dream probably a month before the actual event.
Joe, you bring up a wonderful question. And let me again answer it in two components. What you're effectively saying is the person has a deja experience because they've had a dream which they have incompletely remembered, or for that matter, incompletely forgotten. You remember the part reinstating the whole? Could be a part of the picture reinstating a room. It could be part of a memory reinstating the whole broad sense of familiarity. Or one's forgotten some of it, so it looks like you can recognize it, because indeed you can, but you can't quite put your finger on it. It's like the tip of the tongue, not being
right,
able
exactly.
to explain where. So it's a good hypothesis. The one other component, however, that we've got to bear in mind is something that's cropped up in our discussion earlier, and that is, how much of it is the dream actualizing the reality later on? In other words, one has some kind of premonition, some kind of precognition, and how much of it is the deja vu because of the incomplete forgetting? And obvious.
Well, that's my point. You're saying that a cognitive dream or a psychic dream where you actually go into the future and see a future event? Is that what you're calling a cognitive?
No, what I'm saying is we need more detailed descriptions, and one's not going to generalize on the basis of one particular example. But in this instance, your hypothesis, your impression of incomplete forgetting of the dream or incomplete remembering leading to a sense of I've had it before, could well be so. I haven't got the details on your deja vu experience to understand it in more detail. On the other hand, there's going to be another caller who's going to say, I dreamt something, and then it happened. And they will describe that as precognition. But if they dreamt it, and it happened, and they could not remember that dream, they might get an impression, oh, I have dreamt it before. So there's more than one explanation sometimes, and maybe more than one mechanism to explain what may look like a common phenomenon. And the only way we're going to differentiate this is going into great detail to see where does this fit? Does it fit into category one, incomplete forgetting, or category two, the actualization of the precognition or the already dreamt experience, because one gets the sense of it's happened before, I must have dreamt it. Somebody else, it's happened before, I must have been reincarnated. Somebody else, it's happened before, oh, it's because that person looks similar to that other guy I met earlier on. So people tend to rationalize and work out explanations, but those explanations are not necessarily the question.
Stay with us, Doctor. We'll be back with some final phone calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM.